this podcast is not affiliated with any Grand Lodge, and the ridiculous antics and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and should be dismissed immediately.
Starts in a couple hours. Yeah.
What's her name? Katie or whatever.
Caitlin Clark, yeah.
Yeah. And we're on.
They're about half
we're on.
And we're on.
So, yeah.
Oh.
Did we miss talking about Iowa?
I don't know. We can edit that part out.
That's why all the trees in Nebraska lean that way, because yeah. Iowa sucks.
You know, I think you ought to talk to her about a sponsorship, as much money as she's going to get.
No kidding.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
We can have four shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good evening, morning, afternoon,
good evening,
overnight, whatever it is for you. It's evening for us. It's episode 8 of Studio 357 Masonic Podcast. I'm your host Joe, co-host Heath, other co-host Jason. Oh, and he's a producer too, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Ish,
yeah.
Kind of
cameraman, producer. He's a jack of all trades, so yeah. To speak, right?
He's a jack something.
Runs after the food, right?
Yeah. And our guest, who wants to be referred to as John.
Thank you.
John. So, just John, tell us a little bit about, well, you know what? We don't want to start there yet. We don't want to dive into that. No rabbit holes yet. What have we been up to, Heath?
We had our lodge meeting last night. We had our second reading on two petitions for new guys.
And a reinstatement.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. All the investigations are going to start happening this month, and hopefully get you guys back in.
Side note of that, I got good news last night. We've got a Bethel 18 parent that is going to give me a petition to join our lodge. Yes.
Nice. Standing.
Yes. So we'll have another one to add in.
I thought they're going to make you join the youth group.
I'll keep my mouth shut.
I was waiting for it.
I've been up to the same thing as you guys. Lodge last night. One of the petitions we read is sitting over there again. His third time being in the peanut gallery. And we have our newest intern apprentice, Tyson, in the audience as well. Our live studio audience. But it's only live for us, not them. It's not really that much fun. What have you been up to, John?
You know, I stay pretty busy. I'm the general secretary at the Scottish Rite in the Wall Valley, and I put in 60 hours a week, but I enjoy it. Between my Masonic obligations and all the boards I sit on that are required to work at the Scottish Rite, so, and we can talk about those things later.
Well, speaking of later, tell us about your Masonic resume. Like, what brought you into the fraternity, and kind of a quick rundown of all the stuff you've done.
Okay. How long have we got?
As much time as we need.
I was I'm a second generation. I joined about 30 years ago. I joined for one reason. My grandfather was a 50-year Iowa Mason, and I joined to honor him because he was a gentleman that I thought very highly of. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'm going to go in and I'll pay my dues the rest of my life. And things kind of changed from there. I stayed in. I became the master of my lodge. And then I got invited to join the Grand Lodge. And I did that for about 12 years. Finished up that tour. At the same time, the Scottish Rite came and asked me if I wanted to be the general secretary. And I said no 3 times. And finally, a good mentor said, no, you're not going to say no anymore. You're going to take the job. And the reason I kept saying no was it wasn't a lateral move up. My pay was fine. And I finally made the move because that's who they wanted. They wanted me for my background. Most of it was because of the work I did. I had the people skills they were looking for. Mm-hmm. They figured they could trick me or teach me the other stuff I needed to do. So and I've been there since 2015. So,
well, you've done an excellent job. Well, none of us are in the Scottish Rite, but we are around enough.
That will change by the end of the night, gentlemen.
All right, that's the end of our show. No.
Petitions all around.
Yeah, that was the only reason we had you as a guest.
To get free dues in, or no?
Well, no, just because we know you don't leave home without petitions, right?
Yeah.
So you mentioned the Grand Line. You are a past Grand Master of Nebraska.
Correct. Yeah, it 2015. Very enjoyable. Anybody ever gets an opportunity, just say yes. Very time consuming. I was lucky. It was at a period of time where my kids were out of the house. I had a job that allowed me to travel because there's a lot of traveling, especially in the state of Nebraska. So it worked really well. I was able to follow 2 really good grandmasters. So we had a nice run for about 3 or 4 years. Not that they haven't had a good run so far, but we accomplished a lot of things and worked well together.
Yeah. I know you were grandmaster when I was raised, when we were raised.
Yes.
I didn't know if you knew that.
No, not. I just now.
I was going through some of...
Today years old, did I?
Some of my old files that I had. And I pulled out a certificate from when I was raised, and it was signed by grandmaster of Masons of Nebraska, and it was you. Okay.
Did I spell my name right?
Probably not.
Okay. If you ever seen my signature, you wouldn't know if it's right or wrong. So.
So you're secretary in the Scottish Rite. How long have you been a Scottish Rite Mason?
25 years.
25 in the Scottish Rite.
Right.
That's a little bit of time.
Yes, that is. You don't seem like a long time, especially when you go out and you get 50-year pins and 60-year pins. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember I was the youngest guy in the Scottish Rite and one of the youngest guys in my lodge.
Yeah.
Now I'm the oldest, which is nice. You get to, as you get older, the benefit is you get to meet more people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Masonry is about, is the people you get to meet, you know.
Yeah.
I get a kick out of that. We're always trying to improve Masonry, but if we just listen to the guys that are coming in, they'll tell us what we want. And it's usually fellowship. And that's what we should be about as an organization, is the fellowship.
Yeah, that's – I keep going back to that. That's one of the basis mm-hmm. of this show. You know, because I've talked to you before in passing and spent a little time in your office, and not like the principal's office, or just conversation.
No, I have booze in my office, so.
What was I saying? I got sidetracked.
Something about fellowship.
Oh, yeah. Just know all the different guys we get to meet. Mm-hmm. You know, we said we had a table set up at Grand Lodge this last year, and we got to meet a lot of people just doing that, and people I would never met.
Yeah.
And I have relationships with brothers from all over the state that I would never have mm-hmm. without this. So it's fantastic for me.
Yeah, and the lucky thing about being a past grand is I know people from all over the world mm-hmm. and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And it is truly unbelievable that you can sit down with somebody that may be from England or Canada and how you communicate and interact with that person is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, there's a trust right there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, we've talked a lot about anxieties of going to different places, you know, public places. And I can't do concerts. There's too many people, too much PTSD running around up in here. But a Masonic event can be full of people, and I'm fine because I know that it's a safe, you know. Nothing's going to happen at a Masonic event.
No.
And if there is, we got lots of brothers to have our back.
That's right.
You should probably ask one, Jason.
Well,
you're not on the show like a lot.
No. I think that my question would be, what do you think is your greatest accomplishment as a Mason / Scottish Rite member?
The greatest thing?
Yes.
This is probably going to be surprising. I hope it doesn't fit. It is my faith relationship I had. It became a lot stronger being a Mason. And, you know, we don't talk about religion and lodges and stuff like that.
Right.
But it really strengthened mine. And part of the good thing was is you get to meet a lot of good people. And, you know, the world is good.
Right.
And that helps your relationship with your God, too, knowing that it's positive out there, you know.
Yeah, and that's a good point, is where, although we are not a religious organization, we are an organization full of religious men.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the same can be said with charity. We're not a charitable organization, but we have men that are charitable.
Yeah. You know, every time I look at, and I went back to prepare for this, is I went back and I printed off my year's grandmaster to look at things that I'd done. But everything I accomplished wasn't done by me alone. It was done by the people around me, the people I asked to help. So, mm-hmm. I mean, and I was very proud about some of the things we did, things that we still do. One of the things that I thought was one of the biggest things was our petitions. You know, we used to have a petition and you could sign it and you didn't know anything about it or what an organization was. So we put a petition together that informed brothers when they were coming. And we asked questions we thought were important for us to know to help you when you walked in that door. Mm-hmm. You know, a little bit of background about you so that we could match a mentor to you and stuff like that.
That's great.
Yeah,
that is, because I have noticed, like, the petition that I top line signed for Gabe is not the same petition that I filled out. The one that you filled out is not the same one that I filled out.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, it's very interesting.
Yeah, I think the old ones just said, what's your check number on it?
Do you have enough in your bank account?
Yeah.
What about you, kiddo?
Oh, let's see.
You're not fooling anybody that you're reading the computer there, are you?
No. I was thinking number four, but that's a pretty big thing.
Mm.
So we'll save that one for later. Let's do a little plug for the Scottish Rite. Just kind of tell us a little bit about the Scottish Rite, you know, what they do, what the purpose is.
Well, and Scottish Rite's like a Blue Lodge. You know, each Blue Lodge has its own unique personality. And Omaha is different than Lincoln or other lodges like Des Moines and things like that. I think what makes us unique is we try and make it a family organization. Okay. You know, when we have events, we have babysitting. We try and get the ladies involved too, because, and if you've been to, when if you come to one, join ours, you know, you're used to a Blue Lodge meeting. Our lodge meetings are, you come in, you have a couple drinks, we'll do some information. We eat, and it's fellowship. There's not a lot of business. We have two times a year, we actually have a business meeting, and that's to vote on petitions and then new officers. We try and do a lot of education programs. We do a lot of social programs. We're always looking to make it the fellowship. We want to, that fellowship, I believe, is the key to everything, so we do a lot of fellowship programs. You know, you guys, I'll get you tickets for this, but one of the biggest events for us is we do an outing. Have you guys ever been to our outing in Papin?
No.
That's, we do it twice a year. In the spring, we'll do a steak fry, and you come out there, and it's all social. We have a bar. We do this crazy thing, serve alcohol, then we have trap shooting. So never kind of figured out how that worked out really well. But we don't let you, if you're drinking, you can't shoot. But it's usually about 2 or 3 hours at night, And I've always been lucky. The weather's been nice. But you get to meet Masons from eastern Nebraska come mm-hmm. there. And it's just a fellowship event. And we do other things. We have, like, we have a big Scotch tasting in January. And we bring a somebody from Scotland over from one of the distributors. And they talk about the Scotch that they sell and prepare. And really? We pay to well, that.
I mean, oh, yeah. That kind of event right there.
Yeah, I mean, we do top-notch things, and it's people love it. I mean, we were going, we had a little dip when COVID happened, mm-hmm. but we're back to, we have between 150 and 175 members for our dinners.
Wow, really?
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, it's we're full. And the nice thing is the meals are reasonable. They're $15. We have what's called a culinary masters that come in and cook, and they volunteer, and they make the menus so we can stay under that $15.
That's a great price.
Yeah, and we don't have a liquor license, so you can go get a beer for $2. You just tip in there and stuff like that. So nice. Babysitting is $5. So I have one couple that just came in, and the lady comes over, and she goes, "This is our date night when they come down there." And I'm happy about that. I think that's great.
Let's see, drinks and steak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a babysitter.
And a babysitter. Say,
yeah. Yeah. Sounds like a couple hell of a hours date night with. To me. Yeah, absolutely.
And, well, yeah. And the youth groups, the Jobs and Rainbow, they love doing it because we, you know, we give them money to go do it. So that they got a fundraiser right there, built in fundraiser. So
my question is, if your mom and I go, do you go to the babysitters?
Maybe. I might.
Those Jobs are a little younger for you. So you but, yeah, it's I think right now, I think the Scottish Rite's the epitome of Masonry, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, I work there. I'm going to say that. But, you know, we focus on that. I mean, we do all kinds of stuff down there. And we bring in guest speakers and things like that. We've got a lady that's going to come in and speak this month from Opera Omaha because they're getting ready for their season. She'll come in and talk about that. We did have our mayor who was going to talk about an issue about the Sky Train or whatever they're putting in. Oh, and yeah. She was going to come in and talk, but she had to back out. So we get very interesting speakers. We also have debates. Every 2 or 3 months, we'll have somebody come in and do a debate. And that's always pretty good, too. Like, should we legalize marijuana and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. And can you imagine 70, 80-year-old guys sitting around listening to them talk about legalizing marijuana? That's really good. And then we do other events. Like, we've got one coming up. We'll put together and we'll go to a Broadway show and stuff like that. We're doing that. We're doing it with Prince Hall. So,
oh, really?
Nice. Yeah.
And matter of fact, last fall when we did our reunion, we did a combined reunion with Prince Hall. First time it's ever been done in the United States. I can't say if it is over in other countries, but we have 5 mandatory degrees you got to do. And they did one, and AF&M did 4. And then we each picked one degree that we thought was exceptional and showed that. We had the Grand Commander of all Scottish Rite come in and sat through there, gave the guys challenge coins. But
holy smokes, that's a big deal.
Oh, it was a great big deal. And then they get done, and everybody goes, "We need to do that again." I was like, "Yeah, no." The next General Secretary could do that. But, you know, it was a great event. It got everybody out of that shell. And, you know, we look at doing things with Prince Hall because it's a great fellowship there, too.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious. So does Prince Hall have their own Scottish Rite entity?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's some differences. In the Scottish Rite, there's called a northern jurisdiction and southern jurisdiction. And the northern jurisdiction is mostly in the northeast part of the United States and Canada. And the Prince Hall in Omaha or Nebraska is northern jurisdiction. So their work's just a little bit dead. Southern jurisdiction is everything else in the world. So
really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Huh.
Yeah, we noticed that weird when we went to.
Yeah, there's a lot that I don't know about the Scottish Rite.
Yeah.
It was a great time when we went to the.
Yeah, we went and saw a entered apprentice degree.
At a Prince Hall. Prince Hall. You got to go see a master's.
Yeah, we've heard.
I think it was about, I was grand senior deacon or something, and we did a one day with Prince Hall, and FNAM did the first part, and they did the second part. Wow, you ain't seen anything yet.
Well, good. That's on our bucket list for sure.
One of my mentors, a guy named Charlie Amidon's passed, and when they did that, I said, we need to do that, Charlie. He goes, no, they're going to get sued someday because of the way they do it. And he said, we'll never do it that way. So,
well,
I didn't want these guys to get a little fright over there.
Right. Well, and I don't care if we worry the one on the right there.
appreciate it.
It wasn't the Nat Hunter Lodge. It was the,
yeah, that's
the other one.
That was the one we went to a meeting for with Nat Hunter. The other one was
Anchor.
It was Lodge One, yeah.
I don't remember the name of the lodge, but there was something special. I'll have to tell you off camera that they did with the wages.
Oh, okay.
And it was very unique, and I've never seen it before.
Yeah.
That's a secret that's going to stay a secret of Freemasonry, so we'll tell you off camera.
Well, we just had in the Oklahoma Indian degree done up here, too.
Yeah, I didn't make that, but...
And there's some differences there, too, and it's worth seeing. I mean, and I thought it was all one guys from one lodge, but it wasn't. It's Indians in the state of Oklahoma, and they might belong to different lodges, but they put a team together, and they travel all over. They came to Omaha. They're going to Georgia in a couple months and then to Pennsylvania. And they just call up and say, we're going here. Who can make it? And they all know the different parts and stuff like that. So, and they when they do it, they take like they'll take parts of about the Nebraska, state of Nebraska and stuff like that. And then they put a little humor into it. So you got to pay attention and stuff like that. But it was fun.
How often do you get different degrees put on at Scottish Rite from different entities or different parts of Mason?
We, once in a while, what we'll do is, like, our 9th and 10th degree is exceptionally good. They'll get asked to go some places, and once in a while we'll ask. There's a degree called the 22nd Workman's Degree, and it's you sing the whole degree. And we've asked them to come in. They do it out at one of the valleys in South Dakota, and then Des Moines does it too. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, and it's a fun one. I'm sure I'm not sharing a lot of secrets, but they have their own mugs, and they're supposed to have water. But I've never seen water that sticks to the floor like that. But
my kind of degree.
Yeah, it's we're trying to get that one going in Omaha too. We tried to get the chanters from Tangier to do it, but they're like, no. And it's like, so we'll eventually. And guys are always afraid to sing. So
yeah, mostly I'm afraid to sing because I sound like a goat getting tortured.
Yeah.
Well, if you're drinking beer, though, you sound better, don't you?
That's true. To me, I do. You give me about 6 beers and a shower, and I'll sing anything you want.
Yeah.
So, rumor has it, you put on a pretty mean tour of the Scottish Rite.
I do.
So, our lodge happens to be actually, well, you don't have a lodge yet, but it will be your lodge. We are all at Beehive that is in the Scottish Rite, one of 3 lodges. And then that lodge room is also the Scottish Rite lodge room, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So we all know what the building looks like, but it's kind of your baby. So tell all the people watching, all 8 of them, how significant.
Hi, Mom.
It's a purpose-built building, right?
It's built
as a Scottish Rite,
and it's one of the few buildings downtown that was built and is still being used for the Scottish Rite purpose. It opened in 1917, started construction 1915. The amazing thing was by 1919, they'd paid the building off. And it was paid off by guys that were coming in, making donations to that building. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot for 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm sure that wasn't even for 1917, I'm sure that was still a really expensive building.
Yeah.
Well, I remember when I came in, we thought it was big when we donated $400 to the Almoner's Fund. So,
right.
Yeah. But their classes back there were a couple hundred, too. Mm-hmm. You know, now we get 20. You know, if we get 20, we're clapping and very proud of that.
Right, right. And we should be. It's a different era.
Yeah, correct.
And actually, before I shouldn't have started that, because before we jump farther into that, we're going to take a quick break so we can reset all the camera settings. We'll get a refill the drinks, drain the bladders, do some other stuff, and we'll hear from a sponsor or see from a sponsor. I think our first sponsorship is only visual right now. Mm-hmm. Audio is coming. We're working with their marketing department. But we'll take a quick break, and we'll see you back in about 30 seconds-ish.
Yeah, sure.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And we're back. If you're watching, you probably saw the Corporal Dagan Page Foundation logo. If you're listening only, you probably didn't hear a damn thing. Like I said, we are working with the foundation, with Dagan's mom specifically. He's made a commercial, some clips and some audio from their website, and Dagan's mom took it to the board the other night, and so we're just waiting to hear back from them on what they're going to do with that. We have another sponsor that'll come up later in the show at our next break. And rumor has it, we might have a new sponsor. We might be trading some money back and forth by the end of the night, I think.
Yeah. You take plastic? I'm kidding.
Checks in the mail. Okay, so let's go back. John, you mentioned that you started talking about the building, and I cut you off. That was very rude of me, and I apologize.
Well, that's all right.
I am kind of rude, though.
Well, it's the only way to make me shut up.
So carry on about the building.
You know, it opened in 1917. Forenzen was the architect, and he was very unique and very popular in Omaha. He did several of the major buildings in Omaha. Central High School, which was the Capitol building at that time. He did a couple of government buildings. He did some schools, Blair School's done that. He even did part of a Memorial Stadium down in Lincoln.
Really?
So wow. He was a big deal. We did a major remodel in the 60s, and the main entrance was on the north side of the building, and they needed more space, so they refinished the next level down, which would have been, we call it the first floor, but it would have been the basement. And they dug down and made it the entrance street level and repaved it and put a nice courtyard in there, put offices in. But his son was the architect of that.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. So there's some history there. And then, you know, we've done remodels and things like that. We were very fortunate. We had a gentleman that was an investment guy, and he has set up the Scottish Rite where we take care of almost everything that needs to be taken care of, whether it be painting or redoing ballroom floors. Matter of fact, we did a major renovation in the theater 10 years ago, and then last year we had to do another one where we painted the ceiling. And the ceiling, to repaint the ceiling, was $100,000.
Wow.
But half of that was just on the, what do you call it, when they, scaffolding and stuff like that. So they built it all the way up. It was like 20 feet in the air. And, of course, what do you do when you put something that close up there? You tell the guys to go up and change the light bulbs while they can.
Oh,
so
yeah,
with LED.
Yeah.
But it looks nice. The ceiling's crisp white and stuff like that. And we did all the trimming. But we're always having to paint things. We're always replacing carpet and things like that. I mean, it gets worn. It gets used. We have, you know, three Blue Lodges in there, and us and other activities going on. We have a group called the Downtown Mall Inc. that spends time down there.
Yeah,
it's a nonprofit that works on improving downtown Omaha. So we have somebody in that building all the time. So
you have a lot of plays and a lot of play practice that happens in there.
Yeah, even the York Rite rents space from us. So
now, that's a curious question I have. The York Rite's address is at the Scottish Rite.
Correct.
I don't know anything about the York Rite. Even less than I do the Scottish Rite.
Well, they seem to be losing money because they mail it to us and I keep it. they just we rent them an office down there, and we've got this big mailbox, and their mail goes into there, and we have all the mailboxes from the lodges and stuff like that. It works really well for them because they're probably a third of the size that the Scottish Rite is in Nebraska, but it gives them a place where they have a mailing address, and if something happens, like their secretary can't come to work or get sick, they've got a place where all the material's right there, and they can go to work. They have a designated phone line and everything, so.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Sorry, I had to click something.
That's all right. I will bill York right for that promotion, too.
Absolutely. send him an invoice for us, too. Right?
You guys are good about paying your bills. You pay them right on time, so.
Good job, Dave. Shout out to our secretary.
Our lifelong secretary.
Yeah. Yep. His life sentence.
And treasurer.
Yeah.
So the Scottish Rite was my first experience with masonry. That was where I was initiated. That was the only Masonic building that I know of that I had ever been into until well after I was on Master Mason.
Okay.
So you go in and it's all, you know, the granite and marble floors and the gold leaf and the dental work and the opulent lighting and it.
And you thought all Masonic builders were like that.
Masonic, boy, these guys must be rich.
You know, Omaha is very unique. And there's others, Scottish Rites that have unique buildings too. One of the nice ones is Guthrie, Oklahoma. Shout out to them. Des Moines, really nice. A lot of times you get into Detroit and is in downtown Detroit. Well, that's blighted. And so they don't get a lot of people who come down there. They got a gorgeous building, but you can't sustain it if people aren't coming down there.
Yeah.
And and I've been lucky enough to be into a lot of Scottish Rite buildings and know what's fun, what's, you know, kind of tough.
Right. Now, I've never been to the fourth level of the Scottish Rite building, but I've been everywhere else in the building, and everywhere you go is nice.
Right.
Right? Now, I'm not going to take anything away from another Scottish Rite that, in a location we just talked about a few minutes ago off camera.
Right.
They have very nice areas of their Scottish Rite, but it's not nice everywhere you look.
Yeah.
Some of it, like the paint's peeling off the walls and the carpet's half ripped up and it's just amazing. And granted, it's a very large building that I can't even imagine what their property taxes are even, less the light bill.
Yeah, that goes back, we're lucky. I mean, heating and cooling in our building is $6,000 a month. Whew. Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, to offset that is we do a lot of rentals. We have a lot of people come in and rent the building. So.
Well, yeah, there's sometimes we'll walk into Lodge and there's, like it was set up as a bride's dressing room. There's glitter and bobby pins and all kinds of stuff everywhere.
And other things, too.
Not saying a word.
That'd be a good reason to join, just to go shopping for your wife or something like that there. You're going to get some feedback on that.
No, we don't get feedback. It's probably good because...
Yeah, it's all good.
I'm not really that nice of a guy all the time. I probably just wouldn't care.
Yeah. But we do some unique things, too. You know, our philanthropy is we work with the University of Nebraska Med Center, and we work with children that can't speak. That's our major philanthropy. And we let them use the building for 2 weeks a year. And what they do is they put on a play, and they get these kids that are autistic and other things. And they go down there and they teach them how to speak on a theater and put the play on and stuff like that. And those kids just eat that up. And they go down there and we try and get some of our members to attend, but it's mostly parents. Mm-hmm. And it's good for their confidence.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
That really speaks to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know. Didn't let it went on.
Yep.
That's cool.
It's really neat. And, you know, we pay for these hours for these children get help, and I really appreciate it because I get to know the clinicians that do it, and I stop calling them clinicians. I call them heroes.
Yeah.
Because they get these kids, and they can't speak, and they'll go through two or three sessions, and they'll be talking like nonstop. Most of the times after they've done that, their parents go, break them. They talk too much. But, you know, and we do a lot of things like that. We're, matter of fact, the Scottish Rite Omaha and Monroe Myers, which is part of UNMC, is having a national conference for that speech clinic. Really? They do it every 3 years, and Omaha will be hosting it this year.
Nice.
So.
Nice.
Yeah, that's... You do have petitions in that folder, right?
I do.
I think I actually have one on my kitchen counter.
Yeah.
From that time I was in the principal's office.
Yeah. Actually, I think you have both, two of them. There's one for me and one for you.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, yeah, we'd, and we try and make the reunion special. You know, we did Prince Hall. I don't know if you gentlemen, and Jim Parks is going to be embarrassed if he ever finds this out. Jim Parks is a very unique man. He was a potentate and stuff like that, but he will be our class honoree this spring. So
nice.
Yeah. It. And we've got some people who are going to speak about him too. Jim was one of the potentates when I went through, and I used to get mad at him because he would speak about the hospitals, and he would make me cry, the stories he'd tell. And the work that the Shriners do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are some very tough stories to get through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When does this take place? The event?
You don't know?
No, I mm-hmm. don't know.
We're going June 4th through the 6th.
Nice.
We do a Thursday night, a Friday night, and then all day Saturday. And then Saturday we'll have a banquet. You will bring a significant other. We usually have the ladies come down a couple hours before. And the ladies have fun, because usually we have a bartender come in and make special drinks for the ladies. So they've missed you for 2 days, and they're going to be glad to see you, and they're going to go, oh, give me a kiss. But, you know, it, like I said, we try and do a lot of things for families. We like guys that bring their mothers. We like guys that bring their fathers down, their kids. We don't, well, we got people bringing their dogs, but kind of frown on that.
The emotional support chicken?
Yeah, that's what they're calling it. I don't know.
We talked with Brother Byron last night. We were sitting down for a fellowship meal before our meeting, and he was passing through, skipping our meeting, Byron. He was talking about somebody we know from way back in scouting, one of the parents has an emotional support chicken.
Wow.
Which that's another...
Sounds like my type of pet.
We've been to the theater at the Scottish Rite for some scouting events also mm-hmm. over the years in our scouting careers.
Yep. Some Arrow of Light ceremonies.
Yeah, yep. He was on the ceremony team for Order of the Arrow, and they would do the crossover ceremonies.
Yeah,
We were there for some Daniel Carter Beard Awards,
yep,
stuff like that. So.
They do a blue and gold banquet once in a while down there too. Yep. So.
Yep. Yeah, it's a gorgeous building.
Thank you.
It's an if. We're going to have it on camera later this summer, whenever John's not putting 60 hours a week in as secretary. We're going to get on camera the tour that it's at least an hour, I've heard.
I can stretch it to an hour easy.
Okay. So you guys will all get a video tour of the Scottish Rite. Given personally by John.
It some fun stories. We'll save them for the tour.
Yeah, definitely. Let's see, what else? What would you change?
Oh, I knew this question was coming.
Well, there's one that's not on there that I'll surprise you with.
Okay.
What would you change about the fraternity? It could be good, bad, just from personal experience, from shit that other people have told you. Could be anything.
Okay, this is where Grand Lodge breaks down the door and comes in.
There's, okay.
You know, I'm going to be... Masons are slow to change, but change is needed. You know, one of the things that in the state of Nebraska, I know other states do it different. I would like to see Nebraska move to a South Dakota model on how we pick the leadership. If you're not familiar in Nebraska, the gentleman, this is going to be the Grand Master, appoints a gentleman to go into line. He's usually the junior deacon, and he moves up. And there's like a vote like you'd have in Russia. Oh, yes, him. I would like to see the state of Nebraska move to one where the gentlemen get up, whether it be one or four guys, talk about why they'd like to be the Grand Master in 4 or 5 years. And everybody gets to question them. They do a little spiel, maybe put South Dakota, they have to, on a bulletin board, they put the highlights why they should be considered. Mm-hmm. I think we would get guys that are more passionate about what they're doing. I think there'd be guys that would go out, actually try and earn the trust and respect of the brothers.
Right. Yeah, so, and I'm not saying that it is, but it almost seems like that would get away from the feather in the hat type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
And that's how we pick DeVan members, right?
Like yeah, you gotta kind of campaign a little bit
yeah.
and like
yeah,
like
yeah.
work for it.
Yeah, you've got to be
not saying that people don't work for it, but
yeah, you got to be on committees. I mean, before I was appointed into the Grand Lodge, I was the chair of fundraising, and I sat on the membership committee and a couple other committees that. And leaderships and stuff like that. So when I went out, guys knew who I were, was. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty clear about what I stand on stuff. I'm not saying that picking anybody, but if you get a poor leader and they don't have the skills to be a leader, mm-hmm. usually they're going to pick a guy that's no better than them. And right. It can spiral. Mm-hmm. And I think it's time that we give some guys... You know, right now, we don't have a guy, any kind of leadership out of Western Nebraska. And I know there's good men out there that would be good leaders.
Actually, I think isn't the Grand Master, where's that? Where's Kimball?
Kimball's out, and
like
he's
central.
One of the...
Is it central?
Ish.
Yeah, and here's the... He is going to, by the time he's done being Grand Master, he's going to serve more years than any other person has ever served in the Grand Lodge.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean... He went on about the same time I did and things like that. And John, it's good, but you also got to remember that, you know, he's probably been on Grand Lodge for like 16, 17 years.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a lot to ask somebody.
It is. It's a huge commitment.
Yeah. And it used to be, the reason they did that was communication was a lot different. And this isn't very nice, but the old Grand Masters, you know, from 1850, they picked these people because they thought they had a better understanding of what was needed for the leadership. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that anymore. I think we've got so much better communication with Zoom and things like that, and things like what you guys are doing, that you get to know a person before he actually appointed. Yeah. And we saw that happen. If you're at Grand Lodge, we had a gentleman that stepped down as Grand Secretary. Mm-hmm. And we nominated another guy, and nobody knew who the poor guy was. And he probably would have been a great guy if he'd been able to say, I'm the master of this lodge, I've done this. And he barely lost the election, and I was told he would have been an excellent choice.
Yeah, yeah, because the opportunity wasn't presented.
And it wasn't fair to him either, so.
Which in turn, and I'm not taking a side on either end of that. But I think everybody that's name gets thrown in a hat deserves a fair shake.
I do too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because Heath and I both being military, it is very easy to end up with very shitty leadership. and it snowballs. It really does.
It does snowball.
Because if there's not a leader to teach the next leader, then they just keep getting shittier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it gets lazier too. Mm-hmm. I think the guys we got there now are trying the very best they can. And I like most of those guys. I think they could be, you'd always hope they'd be just a little bit older and have more experience. But I also know it's hard to find guys to do that too.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited. I don't know John Ferguson, except for just, in passing at Grand Line or at Grand Lodge, but I'm very excited for guys like Eric and John moving up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm losing the name of the senior deacon that was at Grand Lodge this year. Mm. I'm really bad with names. I just don't want to not include him. So if you were at Grand Lodge in February, if you were the senior deacon, shout out. I can't remember your name, but Yeah. I'm excited for what you got
coming. I know who you're talking. He's a good guy. He's a lawyer.
Young guy.
Yeah. You know, I feel sorry for some of these times. These, when you're a past grand, you think you need to tell the guys coming up what to do. And I try not to do that. I mean, you know, I had my year's grandmaster. I only had one past grandmaster say something to me about what they do, how I should do something.
Yeah.
And I listened to him, and I said, okay, I got to change the way you want it, but thank you. But I don't, unless the upcoming officer asks me, I don't. The one thing I do is I give him a book, and it's by a guy named Simmons, and it's called Not the What, But the Why.
Yes.
And if you ever want to read a book on leadership, that is the best book. And it shows, and I've talked to other guys that get to speak in front of groups about masonry. I said, don't talk about what we do. Nobody gives a crap that we eat lunch at 3 o'clock and we wear tux. They want to know why you do it.
Yep.
Your passion. Why you're passionate about this. You know, tell them that we help children or we do this or we have great mm-hmm. fellowship. And if you can get that and you can get that in your leadership to go out and explain that to people, masonry would, it'd blow up. I mean, because yeah. we do, it is, masonry is really exceptionally a neat organization.
Yeah, the reason we promote Freemasonry, I mean, mm-hmm. we've all the top line yeah. signed guys,
yeah.
And it's because our passion for what we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I do enjoy throwing my suit on for degree work.
Mm-hmm.
Our lodge dress code is pretty casual. But it really is. It's the passion for fellowship and brotherhood and a sense of belonging.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And why not tell the entire world that part? We can keep all the secrets we want, right?
Right.
But let everybody know that, and I've said this a million times, you guys, mm-hmm. well, you have to be, you don't have a choice, but you guys are my brothers, and that's never going to change, ever.
I can 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
I think from a personal standpoint, with all that I've gone through in my life with my brothers and losing my brothers due to suicide and things yeah. of that nature, it's been tough, but I had my brothers there for me and my right. lodge there for me, and it helped mm-hmm. tremendously. And, you know,
yeah.
I'm pretty grateful for that. But, you know, you had that brotherhood to kind of lift you up.
Yeah, great support system.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things that I found true was I remember asking a guy when I was joining, said, so tell me about masonry and the people that are in it. He said, if a brother tells you he's going to do it, he's going to do it. Mm-hmm. And I've never had that not happen. But a guy says, I'll help you move. They're going to be there to help you move. Mm-hmm. And I don't know any place else in the world that you would have that happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've had neighbors say, yeah, come over and help me paint. But if a mason says he's going to do it, most of the times it's going to happen.
Yeah. And it's a tremendous networking. Like, mm-hmm. there's somebody in the fraternity that does everything.
Yeah.
Literally everything.
Yeah. Or like Byron, you have one guy that does everything.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a kind of a jack of all trades.
Yeah. Yep. He's also a jack of something. Are we getting close to a break, Bubba?
We got about 6 minutes till we need a break.
Okay.
I've got... I guess a question just yeah. from the so from starting in masonry, going to I guess you could say what wording I'm looking for, the top dog in Scottish Rite. Does that right. make sense? What would one expect a time frame for that? Just I know it's personal, it's going to depend on the individual, but realistically, what do you think that would take for someone?
Well, it goes to anything in masonry, it's what you want to put into it, how long it's going to take.
Right.
I mean, you guys have had brothers where they join and the next day they're ready to prove up. Mm-hmm. And then there's other guys, it takes months. And it's not a lack of an intelligence thing, it's just what else is in their life. And I always say, you know, when you come to Scottish Rite, I always joke, I said, when you went in masonry, did you love memorizing stuff? And 98% of the guys know. And I said, well, see, you're halfway there, Scottish Rite. You don't memorize anything. You don't have to know passwords. You don't remember the grips or anything like that. And that makes it a lot easier. And when you go through, you do degree works. But usually there's just one candidate, and you're watching the degree work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more comfortable because then you can listen and pick up on the degree work, what they're talking about. The other thing nice about the way we do it in Omaha is our degree work. We show you a video. This is what you're going to see. And then we have the degree director come up and say, this is what you want to look for. Then we do the degree work. And then we show you a post-degree, what you just saw. So we've done everything. We've showed you, told you again. And then you get back and you'll go into the lodge room back there because they have to reset up. And then you're allowed to ask questions about what you just saw. So
nice.
Yeah, it's more education. So that we don't do it all the time. You know, you do it twice a year. So it gives everybody an opportunity to slowly suck in the information you're seeing. Yeah. And it's not a progressive story like Blue Lodge is, you know, where you start with being an apprentice and go to the master's. Each degree kind of stands on its own. So
okay. Nice.
Yeah.
So when are you going to tell us about the bad parts?
The bad parts is I'm the general secretary.
Oh. that's the bad part.
That should get us to a break.
Are we ready for a break now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll be back. You're going to hear from our new sponsor. Very excited. Excited that we can help him and he's helping us. So we'll see you back in 47 seconds.
Something like that.
Ish.
At Homeward Handyman Services, we pride ourselves on being honest and giving every job the attention it deserves. Owned and operated by a master mason with 2 decades of expertise in home repair. We are bonded and insured, and we carry the highest standards when it comes to taking care of your home. Whether you need a faucet changed or a light remodel, we can take care of your home improvement needs. Call Michael at 402-915-0824 today for a free estimate.
And we're back.
We are back?
We are back.
The light's still red.
Yeah, it'll catch up. There it goes.
I caught up.
All right. What do you think about the length of business meetings?
Okay. When I was Grand Master and I'd walk in to visit a lodge in their business meetings, I always told the master this one thing. If you go longer than an hour, you're going to go back and see Jubalam. Make sure you get knocked on your ass.
I love it.
Yeah. No business meeting should last more than an hour. I'm sorry. I don't care what you got to do. And because guys don't want to sit in a business meeting. You know, get your business meeting, and if you want to have a dinner afterwards or go play cards or something like that or have some cocktails and things like that or just eat Oreo cookies, that's your business. It's right there, making sure the fellowship's being done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, well, you have to pay the bills, but you get to have fellowship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we do dinner before because our meetings don't start till 7, and half of our lodge has to wake up before 5 o'clock, including the two of us. Mm-hmm. Not Mr. Insurance Guy.
You missed my comments during the break here.
I just don't listen to you.
I'm getting up at 5 in the morning now because Miss Julie works at like 6 a.m. every day now. She's working 10-hour shifts. So I'm doing that, and then I'm going to Fremont, and I'm not getting home till sometimes 7 o'clock. So my days are really, really long.
Yeah. Can you play that little violin? Can you?
I'm sure I can find a clip of that.
Or just send it to his wife, this clip.
Yeah. Oh, she'll watch it. She'll see it.
Does she watch the show?
Well, she does, yeah.
Really?
Yep.
I don't know if my wife does. She doesn't say anything about it.
My wife would critique it, so I got to tell her. I send her an agenda, and she gets on me. What does this mean? I said, you're not a mason. <It's> like,
Man, I might have to buy cheaper tires for the Corvette if I'm going to join the Scottish Rite.
Now,
don't buy cheap tires.
I'm actually getting ready to buy a set of race tires for it. Like probably tomorrow.
Do that first. That's right.
Because we've made some changes with Christmas presents, and oh my wow, is it fast!
the old Camaro race car is going to be getting some new socks and shoes too.
Yeah, we were getting on the interstate last night from Martha Street, And I was just in second gear, and I started laying my foot down, and I started easing into it pretty heavy.
And within accident, the speed limit, of course.
It just, oh, yes, 100% within the speed limit. I did not break the speed limit in second gear by 30 miles an hour at all.
And if we did, we were in Mexico.
Oh, wait, well, what's the speed limit there, 55? I did not break the speed limit by 55 miles an hour.
You could have said Puerto Rico so we could leave our good friend in over here.
Did he just give you a salute?
I think he did. The single finger?
Yeah. By the way, I wouldn't show prospective sponsors this section. You're talking about getting new tires. They might go, where's this money going?
Oh, no, that's my money, not show money.
Yeah, podcast money stays in podcast.
Yes, we have a special account that's just for the podcast. We try to keep it as a business as much as we can without being a business, but it's inevitable. It's coming. But we just need to have somebody that knows about business, whether we do LLC or corporation. I have a corporation, so we can run under that. I just don't know anything about it. So
mm-hmm. Well, it's good to limit your risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't want someone taking your house away from you because you had a past grand get up here and say some crazy stuff and sued you.
I mean, all of our guests sign a waiver, and you didn't read it, I'm pretty sure. So.
And I didn't use my signature either.
Podcast over.
Oh, yeah. For the FBI agent listening on my phone. Jeez. So, along the lines of the FBI agents listening on our phone or the NSA or whatever, what's your favorite conspiracy about the fraternity?
Yeah, that we have the Holy Grail.
Don't forget the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah, and you know, we've all read the Dan Brown stuff, and somebody asked him once, why don't you become a Mason? He goes, because they'd have to kick me out. Like, all the secrets I've told. I'm sure... You know, I belong to a Masonic group that it's crazy, but they only allow like two guys from the state of each state to belong.
Really?
And it's what they've done is, and I can't even remember the name, but they take the first three degrees and they do it towards a Christian outlook of the degree work.
Okay.
And stuff like that. And that's kind of interesting. They, of course, they're always coming up with, I mean, these guys are all these intelligent guys that, you know, travel all over the world. Mm-hmm. And they're always coming up with these crazy ideas. Like, you know, I don't believe you, you know. Yeah, Elvis is still alive. Yeah. But there really isn't any secrets in Masonry. I mean, you know that you can get on the History Channel and get a pretty good idea of what the degree work is.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've talked about that on the show before is every single thing about the fraternity is on the internet.
Yeah.
It's all out there. You have to decipher what's bullshit and what's not.
Yeah. But. My wife used to laugh. She wanted to know what the secret word was at the shrine. So a friend of mine said, "Is Neapolitan." And he said, because we take any color people and then stuff like that.
I love it. The rationale behind it. I love it.
And so she was... We had a couple drinks and we were down at the shrine. She goes, I know the secret word. And she told it, and everybody's like, what the frick? So all you ladies, it's Neapolitan.
Yep. That's the official ladies' word of the shrine. We like to go down there and shoot pool as our shrine group, kind of lodge group too. It's kind of the same thing. There's a lot of overlap there.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of one and the same. Few mm-hmm. from others. But
Yeah, we like to go down and shoot pool and see some of our brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a good place to meet other Masons.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Although I feel like a lot of Shriners, not a dig at anybody, but a lot of Shriners are just, once they're Shriners, they're just disconnected from Blue Lodge.
Yeah, yeah.
That's unfortunate, too, because they're missing out.
Yeah. And but that's probably true, too. You know, we don't see, if you're in the Scottish Rite, a lot of those guys don't join the Shrine either. There's mm-hmm. kind of, and not that they're not welcome and stuff like that. It's just that's where they found their place in the Masonic world and things mm-hmm. like that. So the best stories I like is when we get a new young guy come in the Scottish Rite, and I'll have the mother come up and go, my son's single. Can you help him? I'm like, Scottish Rite? No. We don't have a lot of young single women at the Scottish Rite.
Now, I have as a recruiting tool, I use the word recruiting loosely, but guys want to know, can my wife and I meet new people? 100%. You're going to meet more people than you want to meet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When we were first married, my wife, you know, we came from previous marriages, so you lose all your friends when you get remarried. And that was her first complaint, first 8 months, was like, we don't have any friends. And I became a Mason. It's like, we got too many friends. But that's good. That's really good. I mean,
yes,
we're blessed.
Like we say, it's you get out what you put in. It's you can have as many friends as you seek.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've said this multiple times, and I don't know why it popped in my head, but like with all the naysayers and all the BS that flies around, the world is only as loud as you're willing to listen.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's crazy stuff, but there's crazy things about everybody. There's crazy things about certain churches and stuff like that. You know, it's not true. One of the nicest compliments my wife has ever given me was how proud she is that I am a Mason.
Yeah.
And the people that we associate by being Masons, you know. And she talks freely about, you know, my husband is a Mason. So.
Yeah, I've had a similar compliment from my wife as well.
Yeah.
It's just it's the quality of people that you meet in this fraternity is second to none.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
I wish I could say my wife would say the same thing, but I think she's just excited that I'm out of the house.
She's like, I get rid of my husband and a son at the same time.
Jack,
wait a minute. That's what your mom says. She gets rid of both of them.
You know, and I know it's tough for we have some of the guys at the Scottish Rite whose ladies aren't comfortable in large groups, and you know, we don't push it and stuff like that. You know, just I always ask, come to our Christmas party because that it's a it's a holiday, it's not a Christmas party, but we have a gift for the ladies, and they come down there, and it's usually something special, and you sit around and you talk and stuff like that, and we'll sing songs and things like that, and they'll feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. Tacos in Malibu.
Mm. That's better than the curry in Malibu.
Yeah, last episode was chicken curry in Malibu, and now it's tacos.
Oh, man. I'm not sorry.
Next episode will probably be garlic bread or something.
Garlic bread.
Now he's getting hungry. He's going to start drooling.
Might.
What else do you have for us, John?
You know, I think that it's important. These dialogues are important because you're sharing things. You know, we should always be looking at ways to improve how we do membership and things like that. One of the things that I found very successful when I was in the Grand Lodge, we came up with what was called Rush Night. And we stole that from fraternities because they would have Rush Night. And when I was Grand Master, each Grand Lodge officer had to pick a lodge, and they had to go out there, and they had to put on a membership talk, but we called it Rush Night, and we made it more towards what you would see in a fraternity on campus and stuff like that. You talk about the fun things we do and then the other things that are good and make it more of a Rush Night and call it a Rush Night instead of a membership dinner. People at membership dinners are like, oh, I don't know about this. You guys make me sell Amway or something. You know, it's... So, and that was one of the things that I thought was positive. One of the other things that we did, too, that I thought was positive, we made every lodge have at least one goal for the year.
Hmm.
You know, I don't care what it was, whether it's just painting the inside of your lodge or going out, you're going to do a chip event or something like that. As long as you have one goal and you did something different than you did the year before. When I was a Grand Master, I got called down to Superior, Nebraska. Everybody's going to have to look that one up in the map. And they called down and they said, well, we're going to have a Grand Master's breakfast. I said, I'll show for that. So I get down there and they go out to the country club. I said, what are we having for breakfast? They made pancakes and then a sausage there. And I said, you drove me all the way down there? Oh, no, you're going to work. We're having a golf outing. We need you to help check in people. So I asked him, I said, so you guys are doing stuff. That's good. How do we get started? And he said, actually, a tragedy happened that got them going back. Their lodge is ready to close down. town is probably maybe 1,000 people.
Yeah.
And they had a storm that came through and took the lodge's roof off.
Oh, man.
And, of course, they didn't have enough insurance. So they got together. They had a pancake breakfast, and they brought everybody down there, and they said, here it is. Insurance is going to give us 50%. Do we take the money and just fold, or what do you want to do? And they voted that they would rebuild the lodge. They got enough money for the materials. And they did that, and they was such, they had such great time doing that, that they said, we got to do something else. So their next project was to help the city. They were raising money for a park. So they had, they came up with this contest where they did beds, you know, and put them on wheels and had bed races up and down Main Street.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
And that lodge, you know, they just started doing stuff like that, and they started having fun. They had golf outings. And that's what I said, one goal, one, you know, lodge. And so, and I was lucky. I got to see a lot of that stuff happen. One of the greatest gifts I got, I went to Wood River Lodge out there, and it's not a very big lodge, probably 25 members. And they came up, and they got a gift for me. And I'm thinking, what kind of gift are you going to give me? And this guy, he brought out this jar, and it's about this big, full of honey.
Oh.
And mm-hmm. he'd made a special label for the Grand Master. Really? I thought I was going to cry. I was like, this is unbelievable. And that same night, they recognized their secretary. He'd been the secretary for 50 years.
Wow.
And, well, here's the sad thing. Is, he had dementia, and he invited his family in. And they brought him in the back door, and they were sitting there, and they brought him in. And they said, congratulations. I gave him a certificate. And they started clapping. And I go, your wife's back there. And he's going, that's not my wife. Oh. And his daughter comes up, Dad. But they allowed him to be the secretary there for a long time. But there was just, we had great stories. I mean, just had fun. I mean, it. I got a year of being grandmaster and a lifetime. I mean, mm-hmm. I had. A guy, the grandmaster from Washington, came out to my annual communication because you get to know the other ones. And he's going through my book, and he looks at my visitations. And he goes, you know how many places you went last year? And I said, no. He goes, you went over 300.
Oh, my God.
And 365.
Wow.
Wow. And there was times, and I do two visitations in a day and stuff like that. I mean, when I had to go, I went out to Scott's Bluff and did a rush night, got my car, drove down, and then I went to Superior the next morning. I've had to stop and, what do you call it, where you truckers park overnight.
Oh, rest area.
Yeah, rest area. So I parked in there. And a funny story is I fell asleep, and you ever go to that deep sleep? We were talking about that REM sleep. And so I came out of it, and there's this lady next to me, and I'm going like this. I started screaming. I thought it was still driving, and she started laughing at me. I said, not funny. But, you know, it was worth every minute of it. I mean, you know, it got to be some fun. I got to be on the Grand Master has a conference every year he goes to. And the year I was Grand Master, I got to be on the committee. I was on the committee called Time and Place, where we got to select where the next one would be in 5 years. Hmm. And that was the best committee to be on because I only had to show up for the committee. The other guys that are on there had to travel out to the cities, like it was in Seattle, and go meet them, pick out the restaurants and stuff like that. But that was good. And we picked out Salt Lake City had been who we gave the award to, the place. And the Grand Master from South Dakota, Salt Lake had gone out there and pitched it, and we thought he had a great presentation. But he went back, and their Grand Lodge, the people of the state, the Masons, kicked him out because they thought he was an idiot for doing that. Because they only have maybe 2,000 Masons in Utah.
Really?
And they didn't have thought they had the funds to do it. Now, here's the funny start. So I had to go get another place. And where we ended up going was Rapid City. And I really didn't want to give it to Rapid City because have you ever been to Rapid City in February?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's bad. But the nice thing about Rapid City was, were you guys in when Omaha had it here? Rick Meyersheer?
Yeah, I was in, but I didn't go.
Okay. Rick Meyersheer was I was the guy that made the presentation to get into Omaha. And Rick did a great job. I mean, we were lucky. We had February weather here, and it was like 65 degrees. Everybody from up north, Minneapolis, it's always like this and stuff like that. But when I did my presentation, and Michelle Fulner, who is a friend, was the office manager there, we made the presentation, and we went against Rapid City. And that was one of the things I talked about, Rapid City. I go, you got to get snowed in. San Francisco was the other one. I said, they were in there. We get to sit in, they do their presentation. My first question was, where are you having it at? And the guy goes, this hotel. I said, where's the meetings at? At this hallway. And I said, what's it like getting up there? And the guy goes, I know where you're going, but I'm not going to tell you. It was a straight walk up there. And I thought, 16, 17-year-old Masons can't walk that. So, yeah. And then we sold them on it being in the Midwest, and airfare would be cheaper and stuff like that. So I got to be part of that. That was really fun, too.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap it because it's already coming up on almost 1.5 hours for sure.
We're about 1:15.
That's not bad. I want to give a shout out to the Anlin Company. We talked on the last episode with Brother Jeremy about the big discount for the flagpoles. And he said that came from the Anlin Company for the Rainbow Girls. So thank you to those guys for helping them. Come on, Mouse. You got anything else, John?
You know, and one of the other things we did, and we're going to do this in the future. You know, I hate to make it sound, I had great officers. So when I was Grand Master, we did a Grand Master's trip. And we're going to do this again when I retire next year. And we went to Key West.
Ooh.
And we took 48 Masons down to, and what a great trip. We took some guys that are a little older, and, you know, you try and inform them before you go what Key West is like. The lifestyle down there is a little different than it is in the Midwest. And and I tried to go out to eat at least with each couple and stuff like that. And my predecessor, General Secretary, goes, we talked about this lifestyle, but I haven't seen it. And I said, look over at the bar. See those two hugging? And those two, he goes, oh, my gosh. But you know what? We were going to do that again. I've talked to a travel agent. And 2025, the spring of 2025, we will put a trip together for anybody that wants to go. But it will be going to Key West for about 4 days.
Nice.
Yeah. And we'll put a package together. It's very reasonable. The travel agent, actually found a better hotel than we stayed at last time. We'll stay right down on the point.
Oh.
So you can pee on Cuba if you want to. But, there's just some of those things. And like I said, we try and do fun things.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm...
Maybe we can do a podcast from there.
Hey, ooh. Key West sounds like a lot of fun.
They have the Scottish Rite building there.
Do they really?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's about cool. The size of your room here.
Well, we could pack it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we can. I'm pretty sure we can get the camera, and we really only need a camera and a couple microphones.
Yeah. And all your listeners, please come with us. Get to meet us in person.
All 8 of them.
Yeah.
Maybe 9.
Yeah, I'm really about 7'1".
And we're getting, it's kind of exploding.
Yeah, this is a positive thing. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, and we're genuinely helping people. So I have no complaints here.
Yeah.
Except that I wish I would have done it sooner.
Well, there's individuals out there that aren't Masons, and they don't have, they're seeing this and they're understanding more what Masonry is about. You know, it's important to do a good ritual, and when you bring a guy in, you want to do, these young men that are going through over here are finding that out, but they are also finding out that it isn't just about what we tell them in the lodge.
Right.
It's what we live outside the lodge.
Well, I was just talking with Brother Chop when you got here this evening. We're going to Senior Gabe.
Yo.
we're going to run a show special in between our regular episodes with Gabe and probably another one or two guys, and kind of follow them along their journey from once they get accepted, like right. once the lodge votes and they officially pay their dues and whatever, follow them through every degree, because those guys have friends that aren't Masons.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. And those friends are likely to watch the show that their buddy is on. Mm-hmm. And they can get a step-by-step, this is what happens when you join Freemasonry.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and they can also talk about the positive and negative, you know, things that Masonry needs to work on. God knows that we don't have all the answers yet.
No. Especially, like, how much to charge for a raffle ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and there is, like, it's, we can't change anything if we don't know it's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And doing it the way we've always done it is not always the right answer.
Second that.
Yeah. But yeah, I think this is a great platform for me to, or for us. I keep saying me. That's selfish. I'm sorry.
It's a comfort level.
Yeah. You did kind of say you was a little bit of an asshole before.
But anyways, yeah, it's...
I thought he was talking about me.
But yeah, to get the word of our fraternity out there, show that we can have a good time. It is not all suits, tuxedos, and serious. Nope. It's also not just a men's drinking club. We've had those comments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it...
We're not a drinking club. We're just a club of men who drink.
Yeah. Yeah. and there's so many things in Masonry that if you want to grow, that is there to help you grow. I mean, yes. if you enjoy history, world history and stuff like that, great way to follow Masonry through what was going on in the world. It's time and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If you like poetry and stuff like that, there's a lot of great Masonic poetry that's worth reading. There's just a lot of neat things.
And something that a lot of people don't realize is Masonry is very deeply rooted in the arts.
Yes.
So if you're into like physical art or music or whatever, it's very deeply rooted in that. But you may have to join to find out exactly how.
Yep.
So on that, we'll bring us to our closing of our show. Do you have any shout-outs? You know what, John, since you're a past Grandmaster, I'm going to let you go first. You can give a shout-out to anybody you want or any entity.
Well, I want to thank you, John, for doing this. I mean, I know it's a passion and love, but it's still, you got to take the time and put it together, and I know you do a lot of work for it and done a lot of work. So I want to shout out to you and Beehive Lodge for everything they're doing. I remember when I was just in Grand Lodge, I went to Beehive's installation and I looked at it and I was like, oh my gosh. And I go, now, what a difference. I mean, you're one of the most respectable lodges in Omaha now. And that's because of guys like you guys. I mean, you're making a difference. So shout out to Beehive Lodge.
Wow, well, we appreciate that. Yeah, I will definitely pass those along.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Heath, what do you got?
I got about 3 minutes left for the camera.
Okay.
But.
So make it fast.
No, I just want to shout out everybody that watches it.
Yeah.
It's growing a lot faster than I think anybody expected.
Yeah.
So.
I'll make this short and sweet. Shout out to the wife for not wanting to put up with me.
God bless her.
My shout out is the same as Heath's and the same as yours. No, shout out to my wife. I 100% wouldn't be doing this if my wife, I don't want to say if she didn't let me, but she allows this to happen, right? Yeah. Happy wife, happy life.
Yeah. Wives volunteer a lot of time.
Yeah.
To let us do this.
She lets me come over here every other Friday night. But I mean, there's a lot of stuff that happens behind the scenes and off camera, scheduling and phone calls and emails and researching equipment and how to use it the right way and software for editing, all that jazz. Mm-hmm. Are we down to a minute and a half?
About 2 minutes.
Okay. On that, we'll just cut it off pretty close here. if you're watching on YouTube or Spotify, leave us a message in the Q&A section, leave a comment. I'd like to say we'd read your name and comments on the episode, but it's getting too much to do that. If it's something that really stands out or something, we'll definitely do that. You can send us an email at studio357podcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Give us a follow. Whatever platform you're finding us on, like, subscribe, follow. We'll do some bonus content. We have some bonus episodes that'll be coming up soon. If you want to advertise with us, the list is the room that we have for sponsors is quickly getting shorter. We do have a Patreon level for a show sponsor. Please do not just go on Patreon and sign up for that sponsorship and expect us to promote your business. We need to talk to you first. We need to make arrangements. We need to know that it's a good fit. So please don't do that. If you would like to be a regular Patreon supporter for $3, $5, or $7 a month, we would greatly appreciate that. And I think that's it.
I think that's it.
Wrap episode 8.
Wrap.
Thanks, everybody, for watching all these beautiful faces.
Thank you, guys.
John doesn't have a toast or a glass, but here's to another great show. Yep. And travel well, my brothers. Cut it.